Up in the morning and in the field, breaking my back just to pay my bills. Loving what I do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.
Welcome back, folks. This is Lloyd Creech the second.
Paul McDaniel.
And you're listening to Radio Hour with EKH on 104.9 FM, WSKV, out of Stanton, Kentucky. Hope that everybody's having a great, wonderful, another fall weekend.
Well, I tell you what, we better get some rain here soon.
Well, they're calling for it Sunday. 80-90% Sunday and 60% on Monday.
As long as it ain't pouring down, you know, just running off. My creeks are so low, I can walk across them and not get my shoes wet.
Yeah, that's why it's been up in Montgomery County there for a while. That last little rain we got last week, that was a downpour. You know, it got wet, but a lot of it ran off and stuff. It wasn't a good soaker rain.
Well, we didn't get a downpour in the hollow, but it rained two or three times, but it made my turnips grow.
Yeah. you still getting out of the garden, are you?
Well, I've got turnips. I've got Brussels sprouts out there, every once in a while I'll walk through there and find a tater or a sweet tater that's laying out there that I didn't get. I usually walk out and I take my walk in the evenings. I have a little talk with the big guy upstairs. And when I come back through, I walk through the garden. And when I get back to the house, I usually have a handful of some kind of food. So, you know.
I went out in the garden the other day, which, you know, I've told everybody before, I didn't get a lot out of my garden. I got one snake gourd that wasn't very big. And I got one birdhouse gourd. I put it in the Y of a tree and letting it dry out in the sun. So
Lloyd, you can't eat those things.
No, you can't eat them and stuff, but you can decorate them.
Oh yeah, well, that's
and make birdhouses.
So when you're laying there starving to death, you can go up there. Boy, that's a pretty looking birdhouse I just built.
And so that's what I got out of the garden last week. My garden's done. It's been done for a long time.
Well, I've got mine fertilized. I went up to that horse stable and got more straw bed, and I've got it all covered.
Tracy's like, hey, why don't you grow, you know, your garden somewhere else next year? And I'm like, that's the only actual good spot I got. And so I just need to put more compost into it, more, you know, cow manure.
You just got to keep building it up.
And actually needed to test the ground and stuff. I was talking to somebody the other day. He's like, hey, we're going to put some 10-10-10 on our garden at the end of the year. And we need you to come in and till it in for us. And I'm like, no, what you need to do is go get your soil sampled.
And see what you need.
And see what you actually need. 10-10-10 is great. It's awesome. It's wonderful and stuff.
Well, it goes away fast, too. If you don't have the vegetables there to suck it up right now, it's just gone. It's wasted.
Yeah, you're just wasting your money. And so I told him, I said, you know, go down to the UK Ag Extension Office, grab you a probe, grab you a couple of bags. Plot out where your garden's going to be at now and where it's going to be at next year. Get three good samples, the depth of the probe and all that. Let it dry out for 30 days. Put each sample into a different bag. Label it. Draw you a map out of where your each, you know, sample came from in the garden. And then send it off, because about this time of year, the UK Ag Extension Office will do free soil sampling and stuff. So if you get in there, or it's like sometimes it's $8, sometimes $10.
That's no big deal.
No big deal and stuff, because, I mean, if you're going to grow your food and everything.
Well, a pound of hamburger is $5. So.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a win-win situation either way you go. But you need to really know if you need nitrogen, if you need potash, if you need, you know, calcium or...
Well, my garden's all in the same little field there, but the ground is different from one end to the other.
Oh, yeah. And so used to they only check for the big three. And now they're going in and checking for the microorganisms also, on how healthy the microorganisms in your garden is too. So it's a more detailed report of what you need in your garden. And so just don't throw 10-10-10 on it and think next year that you're going to get, you know, bountiful produce again and stuff, because if you don't have the plants there to soak it up and stuff, you're just throwing it away.
Yeah, 10-10-10 just dissolves and it's gone.
Yeah.
The ammonia just goes right back up the atmosphere.
You know, potash, it will stay in there for a little while and stuff, but I mean, it's not you need to put your potash in when you're putting your, just before you put your plants in or just after you put your plants in.
Well, I'm pretty sure I need lime on mine, but I don't really trust the old ton truck all the way to the quarry and back anymore. I'd be giving somebody on the side of the road a truckload of lime.
Me and my Uncle Jimmy were just talking about that this morning stuff. So he's looking for a old lime truck, an actual lime-bodied truck. And it does not have to be roadworthy and stuff. He's wanting to buy it to keep, just keep it on the farm. Yeah. And then we can haul the lime in. Either we go get it ourselves, or we can get.
Well, you got you got loaders on your tractor, so
yeah, yeah, we got loaders on tractors. No big deal. And so, if anybody's got a 1 ton or 10 ton lime body truck laying around that they don't want no more,
it ain't rotted out.
That's not rotted out, and it does, like I said, does not have to be roadworthy whatsoever. We're going to put it on the farm and go with it. If the brakes go out, the biggest thing you can do is run through the fence. No big deal. Just go back and put the fence back up and stuff. So, but yeah, check your ground and stuff. Do soil sampling, especially this time of year is the great time to do it. Like I said, UK does free soil sampling sometime in October, November, sometimes December, sometimes January. Just check with your ag extension agent and see when that program, it goes on all year long stuff, but sometimes they do it for free too. So,
well, it's been quite a few years. I still had my tobacco base, and they come out and checked a couple places and said, you can put your tobacco here and you can put it there, but don't put it up here.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and you know, that goes all along with the how healthy your soil is and everything. So,
well, you know, these old mountain farms up there, you know, the ground looks good, but for hundreds of years, 100 years, 150 years, you know, they growed corn and tobacco, and they used it, and the only fertilizer they had, they dug the guano out of the cliffs and around there. But after a while, that all went away. And even though my place is down below the limestone, you think, well, there's a lot of lime in that soil. Well, that lime's been used up over the years,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
and so it looks pretty. But it's not as good.
I have my own lime spreader, but I can only use burnt lime in it. And burnt lime, you can get, you know, Southern States and stuff has it.
Well, it's pretty expensive, though.
And but it's more expensive than regular ag lime.
Yeah.
And but it lasts for 3 to 5 years once you spread it. And so I have an old Southern States buggy is what it is. And everybody's like, hey, just throw ag lime in. You can't, because ag lime is too heavy. And when it gets on that stainless steel belt, it will pull that.
Well, it's got chunks and pieces and stuff in it, too.
Yeah.
But now, when I pick rocks out of my garden, I pick them out. I built the whole section of road when you come in from that little creek crossing up to my house. I built that whole road out of the rock coming out of my garden. But now, when I go through throwing rocks out every year, I try to leave all the little lime rocks. I just throw the big sand rocks and the flint rocks out.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, when I run them discs through there, you know, it's hitting them lime rocks and knocking off, chipping them and putting some lime in the soil.
And stuff, and there's not too many parts of Kentucky that does not need lime in the soil and stuff. So this is fairly acidic land around here, and that lime will neutralize or help neutralize it and stuff. So especially anywhere it's got red clay, anywhere it's got shale, or not shale, but slate and everything.
Well, see, I don't have any. I'm at those old hollows where I'm at were all big creek beds at one time, massive big creek beds, and they're full of creek gravel.
Yeah,
it perks good.
Talking about that, so I'm over on last couple weeks been kind of adventurous for me. I'm either bush hogging or working on the bush hog,
or getting stuck someplace,
or getting stuck somewhere, and so I got stuck really bad 2 weeks ago. But before I tell you that story, so I'm on the Camargo farm. It's 156 acres across, and I just got done bush hogging into a corner here, and there's the remnants of a sinkhole there, where we filled it up and filled it up and filled it up, and then it's, you know, it settled down into the hole. And I'm looking back and stuff, and I'm like, what in the world is that? And so I jump off the tractor and go over there and look. It's another sinkhole. But this sinkhole is huge. It is 9 feet across.
It's a new one?
It's a new one.
Well.
It's 5 feet to the right of the old one. And so it's 9 feet across. It's 10 feet deep with the tape measure where I could hit bottom.
Oh, no.
That's a pretty good size sinkhole.
You don't want to get in it.
And, last time I lost the tractor's front end to it. That's how we found it. We was driving across it, man. The tractor front end drove into it. And but this time I was bush hogging, and the bush hog found it. And so I got off, and it's 10 feet deep. It's 9 feet across to where I could get my tape measure to. It's deeper than that because there's sandstone there, and the sandstone's been washed out below it and everything. There's a huge cavern in Camargo, and I was told about it long before we ever bought that farm over there and stuff. And even the previous farm owner said, hey, you need to watch out over there. That's where all the water from this area goes to. It goes underground, and then it comes out like three-quarters of a mile down the road.
Big cave down there.
It's a big cave down there. And I've known two people to go in it, but that was back in the 70s and 80s. They told me they went in it, and, you know, being adventurous little kids. So this time I just go and take hay rolls, old hay rolls and stuff that we got laying around, and throw one hay row down in it, and then throw another hay row on top of it just to keep animals and people from getting down into the hay row. And then I put a temporary construction orange fence around it with posts and everything to help, you know, everybody see it. Hey, you know, if you're walking by there, you don't need to, you know, go into that area. And so so that's what I had to do to that sinkhole, was fill that one in. Now to the tractor stuck. So, you know, I have a farmhand, and I would not put him anywhere that I would not go. So what I normally do is I go and take the bush hog and mow all the really steep areas, places where you normally wouldn't put a tractor. You know, I will go ahead and put the tractor. It's my tractor and stuff. It's got a rebuilt motor on it. The bush hog's been rebuilt, I don't know how many times now.
Well, you can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, and, you know, so I'll mow all the really steep areas and the sketchy areas and everything. Then I'll let him mow the easy spots. And so I've been going around to all the fields making outlines. All right, you can go here, you can go here, I'll do this over here, I'll do this over here. And so Monday before last, I'm going around making my outline on a field, mowing the really sketchy stuff anyway. And the grass is so tall. It's about, you know, 5 feet tall or so down in the valley. And it's got a lot of Johnson grass in it. Everybody knows how tall Johnson grass can grow. And you could not tell the difference between the hay field and the ditch. And so I'm coming down this steep old hill with the bush hog behind me, 15-foot wide bush hog, weighs a little bit, and it pushes me over into the ditch. No big deal. I'll call Jimmy. He'll come out with his F-350. He'll yank me out, right? No problem.
Didn't happen.
He comes out. He yanks and yanks and yanks and yanks. No, to no avail. So we go get the big cab tractor. And so we're sitting there yanking. Well, yanks the log chain, breaks it and stuff. I broke my log chain. You know, big old, I think it's half-inch log chains. That's pretty good
stuff. Good heavy
one. Yeah, good heavy one. And so then I called Gary Booth, and I'm like, Gary, man, you got any cables? You got any, you know, chains or something other I can use to help, you know, get this thing out? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, I got a 30-foot log chain. I'll bring it down to you. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, we use Gary's 30-foot log chain, and to no avail. And so Jimmy's like, man, what are we going to do and stuff? He said, you've never had a tractor stuck to where we can never pull it out. And I said, actually, I have. It's just I didn't call you. And so the next day, I had to actually go get our backhoe and bring the backhoe down there and dig the back tires out. The mud had, it was already stuck to the axles, the back axles, when I got stuck, and then I let it sit there all night.
Oh, and it sunk.
So it sunk even further, and then the mud's got the suction on the tire, so it's not going to let loose. And so I had to take the backhoe and drive it down in there, back into the tractor there, and dig out the back tires and dig out the front tires to go around, reposition the backhoe, and pick up the front end, move it out of the ditch, and then pull the back end out. And all the while, the bush hog is still attached to it.
Well, I've had to unhook them and drag them out of the way.
Well, the problem with that is...
Except for you got a great big one, too. So.
Well, it's not only a great big, but the problem is the pin was stuck.
I don't know.
And stuff. I have one of these big, long pins, the big pins that go in, was, in the hitch.
Yeah, in a bind.
And it was in a bind, so I couldn't get it out. And so, fortunately for me, and the way Murphy's Law has it and stuff, if it can happen, it will happen. And so the pin got into a bind and slipped out halfway. And so I could not get it out the rest of the way and stuff. So it took me another 3 hours after I got the tractor out of the ditch and stuff. I had to, you know, maneuver around for about 3 hours to try to get the pin back in to the ditch. And I was like, man, just nothing's going on and stuff. But, you know, luckily I still had the backhoe down there, and I was able to go do some road work while I had it down there. And I'd had some rock hauled in last year to fix one of my roads.
So you kind of spread it around.
And so I spread it around, but we got one of those downpouring rains that we've been getting here lately. And it washed all my rock down the hill into the pond and stuff. So I went with the backhoe and dug all the rock back out of the pond, put it back on the road. And so, but I did get the tractor out. But I took a picture of it. I sent it to my lovely wife. And she goes, just do me a favor. And I'm like, what's that? She said, don't post this on Facebook like you do all the other. She said, you're like the god of getting stuck.
Well, people like that, Lloyd. That's excitement.
Well, it is excitement, but I'm one of these, I hate to weed eat. And so I try to push it. You know, I try to get that bush hog as close to the fence as I can. And stuff. I hate weed eating. And when I go to weed eating, I can weed eat for days, if not weeks on end. Because by the time you do the store, storage buildings, mom and dad's house, my house, the farm in Jayville, you're going to be weed eating for a while.
Well, up there in the hollow, you know, I haven't mowed that the neighbor's place up there this year.
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of fell apart. But that big creek comes down through there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to, you know, mow, you know, and I know where I'm at next to the creek, but then after all winter, it undermines.
Yeah.
And I've had that tractor start giving.
Mm-hmm.
Me up there by myself, it wouldn't take much to turn it over.
I drove mine into a creek many a day.
Well, my creek, you know, the banks are 6 foot up off the creek, too. If I drove that little tractor in there, it'd be all over with.
Yeah, they're fun, let me tell you. I've actually done that on a couple of times.
Well, I went up there the other day. There's some pear trees up the hollow. We got a new neighbor further up. And I kind of knew where the pear trees were, and he couldn't find them, so I took some marking tape and went up there and marked them. And but then I drove into that one field where I used to mow. There used to be a house there, and there was a big old tall pear tree. And I don't know what kind it is. It's got a gold pear on it.
Huh.
And the ground was just covered.
Uh-huh.
So I brought about a half a bushel of them back.
And, is that when you texted me how many pears is a pear?
Well, if you get that down just right, if you use the word pear like a P-A-I-R, if you have a pair of pears, and pear being a fruit, pears would be plural.
Uh-huh.
So how many pears are you starting off with?
Well, that's true. I mean,
you got a pair of bushels of pears, or you got a pair of truckloads of pears?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, normally in your case, you know, everybody else is like, oh, that's easy. That's 4, 8, you know, something like that. Paul's case, it's 20 or 200 or 400 or something like that.
Tractor trailer load,
yeah. And stuff. He loves his pears. He makes pear jam, pear jelly, pear preserve, pear.
I eat two every night, and I found out that pears are good for cleaning the bad cholesterol out of your blood.
Really?
Yeah, I read that in a little article the other day.
That's kind of cool.
You know, and that and I just like pears.
Yeah.
Of course, I have to let them get real soft because I have to gum them.
Oh, yeah. You still ain't got your teeth done yet?
I wear them every day, but I can't eat with them. Oh. I can't whistle with them. I can't spit with them. That was $1,400. I should have just handed it to a poor person and said, here.
Yeah. Yeah. That kind of sucks, man.
Yeah, I ain't wearing them right now because if I get to talking with them, they go to chattering.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah.
I feel bad for you.
I don't. I'm all right. Well, you know, us senior citizens kind of get in this kind of shape. You know, you got something to look forward to.
Oh, yay. No, the reason Teresa's not here today, she don't have COVID. She don't have the flu. She's got, I think, bronchitis maybe and stuff. She can't talk right now, so
she's really
hoarse sounding and everything. And then last night we was joking around and stuff because last night she had a really deep voice and stuff, kind of. You know, my voice goes up and down stuff.
Hey, Lord, come here.
Yeah, and stuff. She goes, oh, no, not only are we starting to look alike and stuff, we're starting to sound alike. And I'm like, hey, yeah.
That's scary.
Nothing sexier than that, is it? Yeah. And stuff. But we got joking around stuff about that. And that was pretty funny. But she's not feeling good. That's why she's not here today to do the recording. And Paul is always willing and ready and stuff. He's like a minute man ready to go to.
I don't know if I'm always ready. I'm willing. I've been working up in Millersburg here lately. I'm just getting over a dislocated rib.
Uh-huh.
I took a week off of work here 2 weeks ago when we had that cold spell.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll stay home and cut wood and do a few things. Well, I dislocated that rib the last day I worked, packing them big rocks for that fireplace hearth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I got a rib, they call it a rolling rib.
Huh.
That's where I busted my back up that time. That bottom rib comes out of my spine and then turns. And it's painful.
I've never heard of that, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know ribs could do that.
Yeah, well, Dr. Allen, I go to the chiropractor, he can push it back in there, but I'm miserable for like a week. But I went back to work, and today is actually the first day that it hasn't hurt.
Well, that's cool.
But I'm about there in Millersburg, and we're still laying rock. I know
the picture you sent me earlier today of the fireplace with the hearth and everything.
Well, I'm working on two of them. There's a great big one on one end of the house, and there's a little bitty one on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll start on the little bitty one now, and we're going to put an insert in it, but the other one's going to be able to have fires in it.
It was, guys, this man is a craftsman of his abilities to restore these old log cabins and everything. This one had the keystone, beautiful keystone work in it and everything, beautiful rock work. And then he went back and redone the hearth and everything. And the hearth is shiny. It's gorgeous.
Well, I built a new mantle for it. Uh-huh. And then on the little one on the other end, the keystone fell completely out of it. I started working on it, and it just fell on the floor. And I'm looking at all this really rough rock above it that the keystone arch is supposed to be holding up.
Yeah.
So I went and started grabbing 2x4s and cramming them in there. But I got it all back in good shape. But I tell you what, I'm working with a really good crew. Jason's crew, they're framers, uh-huh, builders, you know, and this is all kind of new to them. And every one of them fellas is just 100%. They're all willing to learn. Uh-huh. I've got them chinking. A couple of them are doing rock work with me. And you don't have to go back and fuss with them. They're just doing a wonderful job.
That's cool.
And enjoying it.
Uh-huh.
And the one guy's got his son working there, and I don't know how old he is. I think he might be about 18 or something, 17. And he was talking about he wasn't learning anything in college. I said, well, look at it this way. You're learning something here and getting paid to learn it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I said, you know, people aren't chinking log houses anymore. Not this way.
Yeah.
I said, so if somebody comes up and got a little cabin and says, hey, I wish I could find somebody to chink this, well, you and your daddy can jump on that.
Yeah, Paul is a log cabin extraordinaire. He, not only does he build them and stuff, he repairs them and makes remodels to them and everything. And so if you need some log cabin work, man, look this man up. He's getting some age on him, but he still wants to go out there and do it. So,
well, I'm not ready to quit, and I think that's the worst thing an older gentleman can do is retire, sit on the porch, prop your feet up, and die.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
And so, but he is a rock layer and a block layer and also a log cabin builder and stuff.
Oh, well, speaking of some of that stuff, my brick chimney is finished.
Yeah, you paid somebody. I cannot believe you paid somebody to do
well,
that.
Well, I'm up there laying rock getting paid, and I had a guy down there laying brick and finishing. It all worked out. But I started taking scaffolding down, and I'm waiting for Lloyd to show up one day and help me take the scaffold down.
I will show up one day. I haven't been over in, what, a year? You know?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And stuff, but so he paid some. He's been working on this chimney for 16 years now.
Yeah.
And so he's been working up in Millersburg, and he pays somebody to come down here and lay his brick out for his chimney and everything. So it's done now.
It's done.
And so.
So we don't have to hear about it on the radio anymore.
And stuff. So, Paul, you also talking about your cabin and stuff. You're looking for 4 or 6 panel oversized door.
Yeah, I'm looking for an old wood 4 or 6 panel door, something about 40 inches wide. And I'd like to have it, you know, about 84 inches tall or a little shorter than that. This house, he wants a, it had a big wide door on it, and the door was just destroyed. It was no salvaging it. But we've called all the salvage yards, you know, called around Lexington, and the guys got on the internet, and he just can't find one. And, you know, they used to see them, you know, the old houses up north all had them, and like I said, old churches and store buildings all had an extra wide door.
Yeah.
So if anybody's got an old panel door out there, and
how thick you need it?
Well, just
standard,
just a standard, you know, standard thick, thickness. Inch and a quarter, inch and a half thick, whatever they are, but no glass in it, just a wood door.
Yeah, just wood.
But door. At 38 inches to 42 inches.
Yeah.
I think I can't go any wider than 42.
Yeah, so
if anybody's got one, just holler at Lloyd there, or you can holler at me. Or
My number, everybody should have my number by now. It's 859-585-5131, and Paul's number is
606-614-9870
and stuff. So if you have an old antiquish, big, strong, thick door laying around, and you would possibly like to get rid of it and stuff, call Paul or myself.
Even if it needs a few repairs on it, as long as it ain't rotted out and busted up real bad, you know, I can repair it. You know, it's probably going to need to be, you know, cleaned up and refinished anyway.
So. Yeah, yeah. Talking about log cabins and stuff, so last weekend, Teresa said, hey, let's go do something fun. And so we went to Wentz Wildlife Adventures. Now, if you haven't been to it, you need to go to it, especially if you like animals. They got camels and sloths and ewes and ostriches and all kinds of dragons and snakes. And,
sounds like a couple of my neighbors.
And did they put a fence around them?
They ought to.
And stuff. They, it's a really nice place. It's over in Carlisle, just out or on old U.S. 68, and it's called Wentz. W-E-N-D-T-S. Wentz Wildlife Adventures, and very nice setup. They got a little store there. You got a lot of toys and candies and stuff in it. Cost $10 per person to get in. Age 3 and under is free, and so it's a great place to take your kids. But they have inside exhibits and outside exhibits. It's a farm right here in Kentucky. It's got all these camels and everything.
Oh, you can pet them?
I mean, you can pet them. You can feed them carrots. You can. They got a parakeet exhibit and stuff. You walk into this trailer and you hold these little sticks. It's got bird seed stuck to it. And there's probably 150, 250 parakeets flying around your head and everything. They'll land on you.
I had a parakeet when I was a kid for a pet. Parakeet the parakeet.
And so you can walk in. They'll land on you. They're trying to get, you know, that food and everything. And so I took Bub in there. He loves birds. And he loves all animals. He especially likes the birds and stuff because he thinks they're fun and funny or, you know, all that. At one time, I counted 15 on me. On my head, on my shoulders and everything. I'm a little bit taller person and stuff, and they like to, you know, the tall, they like to sit on the window sills and everything like that, but it's a really cool place to go. Behind Wentz Wildlife Adventures is Daniel Boone's last cabin that he lived in while he lived in Kentucky. And let me pull it up here on my phone here real quick. Teresa is a awesome, wonderful photographer. And so anytime we go anywhere, she takes pictures of it and makes, you know, pictures of it or postcards, you know, whatever. She's an awesome photographer. And so behind, like I said, Wentz Wildlife Adventures is the last standing Daniel Boone cabin in Kentucky. It was built in Nicholas County in 1795 by Daniel Boone himself. Boone, his wife, and 10 children lived in the cabin off U.S. 68, which is old Maysville Road, until 1799, and that's when they moved to Missouri. The cabin is in really good shape. It's all one room. It has a loft on one. It may have a loft on both sides. It's got stone fireplace in it. It is a museum. It's open to the public. You can go to it, but it's on private land. So just respect, you know, the land around and stuff, because it is on private land.
Yeah, don't throw no trash out.
Yeah, don't throw no trash out. And it's got a pond in front of it. It's a beautiful place. Teresa did an awesome job of capturing it.
Oh, yeah.
Made it look like, you know, it was still going on, you know, even now, back in time. So,
you know, there's a chance that he passed through where on that cabin I'm working on, log mm-hmm. house.
And so it's just an absolute beautiful place. So we went to Wentz Wildlife. We was there about 3 or 4 hours. And then we knew the Daniel Boone's cabin was right behind this place, so we went and went through it, and Teresa got a bunch of good pictures and everything. And then there is a church. It's called Abner's Mill Church. It's on Abner's Mill Road in Nicholas County. And the Barnwood Builders, if y'all watch Discovery Channel or anything like that, they're from North Carolina, Virginia, somewhere in there. I think Virginia.
Yeah.
And so they built this church. It is now a museum, and the windows in it are from a church that is long gone now and stuff. They salvaged the stained glass windows. The glass is over 100 years old, and it's into this new log church that they built, and it's just... It's 20 minutes up the road from Daniel Boone Cabin, and it's a log structure, chinked and everything. Look, it's a museum now, and they have the rows. They have a piano in there. They got the pulpit. They got a big horse statue outside, and the original bell that was on the original church that stayed there, it's there. And wow. So it's, but problem is, it's on a lane wide road. If you meet somebody on there, guess what?
Somebody has to back up.
Both, either you back up or you share the ditch, you know. And so Teresa loves it when we go on our Jeep rides, because the Jeep's small, it's very narrow.
Plus, if you get off road a little bit, you can get back on.
Yeah, if you get off road, no big deal. It's a Jeep. And so she's used to those, but we was in her car, and Bubby was with us, and she was going down this road. She goes, OMG, and stuff, look how rough this road is and stuff. And I'm like, hey, it's no big deal. I said, it's just a country back road here in Kentucky, you know, no big deal and stuff. And she's so scared because we started going down this really steep hill. And it's blacktop. It's only one lane wide, and you can see the car coming. But they waited at the bottom of the hill for us to pass before, so we can get around.
We got plenty of them in Estill County. So,
and I said, "Honey, I can drive if you would like." It's her car, so she wants to drive, and that's fine. You know, I'm in my truck or my Jeep. I'm driving. You know, and so we get there and stuff, and she's like, "Well, you drive us home then." And so I get back in, and we drive back out of there. She goes, "You need to go slower. You need to go slower. You need to go slower." And I'm like, "Honey, I got this. Let me drive. Don't worry about it. Sit over there with your eyes closed. Don't even think about it." She can't do that. She's got to tell you. She's got to tell you how to drive while you're driving.
Well, that might be why she's got a sore throat now.
It could be. And we went and seen the Abner's Mill Church stuff. We have the pictures of it on our Facebook page, Eastern Kentucky Homesteaders on Facebook. Both pictures are on there. And stuff. Abner's Mill Church and the Daniel Boone's last cabin in Kentucky is both on there. Go on there and check them out. They are really cool. She did a really good job taking pictures. And also, just last Monday and stuff, she's not here with us today. That stuff was our 7th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, thank you and stuff. We've been married for 7 good years, been together for 10 and stuff as of February 20th or 21st.
You better remember this.
No, this is our when we got together.
Oh, okay.
Our anniversary was October 24th. and stuff. It was this past Monday and stuff. So I have that. She can't remember that. She thinks it was August 25th or October 25th. So actually October 24th and stuff. So when we got married, but we've had, you know, 7 good years and everything. Bubby's in our life now and everything, so everything's going good.
Well, how's that going with Bubby in the courts now? I mean,
everything is looking to be on the up and up. We should hear something really good in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, anytime you're waiting for something, it seems like time just is dragging on.
It just drags on, especially when you're working with the court system and the state and everything. Everybody, you know, everybody's got a job to do, and they're so overwhelmed with everything, you know, that's going on, that it takes a little bit longer and stuff. But we've been in this for 2.5 years now, and we should hope to hear something in the next.
Well, it's gone on long enough now. I mean, something needs to happen
and stuff. Everything's going on. I can't talk about it on the radio and stuff, and can't mention names and stuff like that. So we'll leave. Next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll hopefully hear some really good news.
Yeah, I hope so.
And so, but everything is on the up and up right now. What else, Paul, can we talk about?
Well, we were talking about my cooling system I wanted to put in my house, and I think we talked about on the last show where I was wanting to take a backhoe and dig a ditch from the creek.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, just today, as a matter of fact, for something that I could put in that ground for the air to travel through, why not black plastic culvert?
Oh, that would be a good idea. And, 10-inch, 12-inch.
Yeah, probably whatever I could come up with. You know, I didn't have to go buy new. Because I can bend it around. I have to come around my shop somehow.
Yeah.
And I could come through the shop, but I don't think I'd get the backhoe in there.
Which creek are you coming off? You coming off the main creek or the
creek? The little branch creek right behind my shop.
Okay, yeah.
You know, when you come down the hill behind my house, okay, that creek, that real steep one right there.
Yeah, where your water and stuff comes out.
Right, where my spring is and all that. That creek never sees sunlight in the summer, and that it's real steep in there, so that water's moving fast coming down. So it's staying super cool.
Yeah.
So it's keeping that hollow real cool. I mean, you can stand out there in the summer and feel the air from the water. I mean, it's just really comfortable. So if I could trap that and get it, you know, through a tube to the house, just to my bedroom, that's all I'm after. And I'm not still haven't quite figured out how I want to put it in the house yet.
Yeah.
But the main thing right now is trying to come up with the stuff to do it with.
Yeah. And so he's looking for, if anybody's got any stuff laying around, he needs like a 12-inch or a 10-inch black plastic culvert-like.
Yeah, you know. And
double-walled pipe or single-walled.
Yeah, I mean, just like you put in a drain across the road or something. You know, it doesn't have to be super heavy-duty. And it doesn't have to be really in perfect shape either. It's going to be buried.
Yeah.
And I'll put a fan towards the house, you know, close to the house, you know, where I can pull the air through.
Yeah.
Because the air will be being forced into the other end of it to begin with. I'll turn it to where it actually catches that airflow coming off the creek. Yeah. And then that fan will just kind of help it along.
So it'll be a constant 58-degree
cool
air system and stuff. It's kind of like a geothermal unit.
Yes, that would be basically what I'm doing.
And so minus the water. So he's just grabbing the air off of it, piping it to the house, and then piping it into the house and to his shop too and everything. So if you got any black plastic pipe laying around, you're looking to get rid of it and stuff, you know.
Well, you know, I could go out and buy all this new, you know, and probably spend $400 or $500 on it. But then if it didn't work, you know, then I'm looking.
$400,
and yeah. I like to recycle anyway.
Yeah. And so if you got any pipe laying around stuff, give Paul a shout.
Yeah, I need probably 80 to 100 feet of it.
Yeah. And but we's talking about this, you know, we can make a swamp cooler, we can make a geothermal cooler.
Well, I'm still thinking about, and I will do this also, is finding a very small propane refrigerator out of a little camper.
Yeah.
And like one of them little tag-along small campers, they got real small refrigerators.
Yeah.
And make an air conditioner out of it and just fix it in one of my windows.
That would be kind of cool.
Because those things get really cold.
But you'd be using, you know, more electric and all that stuff, to where if you use geothermal, you'll just have a fan.
Well, and maybe you won't even have to use the fan that much. Just see how it works. And that part of my yard behind my house in the hot part of the summer stays shady anyway, so the ground's not heating up.
That stuff. So it'd be a constant 58 all the time. and stuff. And it's so that arrow would go into his house and stuff. Would you have to put a filter on it to catch any moisture?
Well,
because you don't want all that moisture to go into the house, because then you get mold and all that stuff.
Well, I've got that anyway.
Why not just add some more right now?
No, I'll figure it out one piece at a time. What is it? First off, can I come up with the culvert? Will the backhoe run long enough? You know, can I? They ain't got no brakes on it, so hopefully I won't run over something. You know.
Hey, my backhoe don't have no brakes on it either.
Well, I wouldn't know what to do with brakes on one.
And but yeah, so he's going to try to come up with this air conditioner stuff. I got the coil for the swamp cooler and stuff. And what we're going to do with that was one of those, everybody remembers, if you've been in Creatures Food Mart, we took out a freezer and a cooler a couple months ago. And so I scrapped out the coils inside of them that I could get it out of. And you pump water into the coil, and, you know, it's constant 58 degrees. You put a fan on the back side of that, and you got yourself a swamp cooler. And that's how... people out in Texas and Arizona and places like that help cool their houses.
Right. My parents had they lived in Mesa, Arizona. Uh-huh. Well, all the houses out there had swamp coolers.
Uh-huh.
And those things worked pretty good, you know. Yeah. They were great big outfits, so, I mean, they took cranes to set them up on the roof.
And so, but for poor men like us and stuff, you just take a big coil, put your water hose to it, pump the water through it.
And put a fan on it.
And put a fan on it, and you've made yourself
a well, build a box so it channels. And
yeah, yeah.
I made a little tiny one. I think we might have talked about this before. It was a heater core out of a little Ford car.
Uh-huh.
And it was about 10 inches square. And I built a little box around it and stuck a little fan in behind it. And I just kind of rigged it up in my utility room there at the house. And I've got a spigot there where, put a hose on it.
Uh-huh.
And then I just run the hose into the bathtub.
Okay.
Around the corner there, and I set it up there, and it dropped that temperature. I think it was like 8 or 9 degrees in less than an hour.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Just a little teeny outfit.
Yeah. And so he's looking for ways to help him stay cool in the summertime and stuff. But also in the wintertime, you know, the geothermal units, it's easier to warm up 58-degree water,
yeah,
that is already 58 degrees than it is 32 degree air and stuff. I said water, I meant air. So, you know, that's why geothermal works so well and everything.
Well, right now, I've still got that big Ashley stove. We've got a whole shed full of beech and ash wood, and it gets pretty warm in there.
So how far down does your backhoe dig?
I've never dug it. It's an old 580B. I'd say I could probably dig down 10 feet.
10 feet. I think mine's a 582. It's 580 something other. And I think 10 feet is the max.
It's a pretty good size hole, you know. It's
and stuff. But you could also put I don't know how wide your bucket is and everything, but
I think it's 16 inches.
That's a great piper then.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So you can go in, put 8-inch, 10-inch, 12-inch PVC pipe in it, and fill it up with water, and have you two tubes coming out of the ground, and have one side for the water to go in and one side for the water to come out, and then it goes through the coils, and then that's pretty much a geothermal unit's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can blow that cool air through there. All you got to do is have a pump just pumping the water through all the time. You can set it up on a gravity feed system, and you can set it up on, I can never think of the pump that pumps itself uphill. That stuff doesn't take anything. It's got a name for it. I can't remember what it is, right off hand. And stuff, but you can set it up that way too, to where it's constantly feeding itself. And it never really turns itself off, and it does not have any working parts other than the mechanical fan that's blowing the temperature.
Well, see where I'm at the foot of that hill there, you know, and I've got all that water. I got the water from the spring, and then I've got the water from that one creek. You know, and it's all running downhill to begin with.
Uh-huh.
So I've got that, you know, pressure from that just natural flow of water.
It'd be really cool if you could have for the wintertime, is somehow to let it go across your stove and stuff, warm the water up that way, and then you got a heater all the time. So,
mm-hmm.
And stuff. We gonna keep on researching this.
Well, my house is gonna be one of them weird places you're going to walk into, you know, and they're going to be, what in the world is that hanging on the wall there?
Hey, that's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. So.
No, I agree.
And stuff. That's the way I would like. There's a show on Discovery Channel right now. It's called Alaska Bush People, and they live off the grid on their own little island somewhere in southeast Alaska. And they've been knocked down several times throughout their life, but they keep on coming back and stuff. Dad's had, you know, this wrong with him and that wrong with him. Mom's got cancer now and stuff, but they keep on coming back. And but they live out in the bush and stuff, and they got one son. They got seven kids, I think it is. But one son's really smart, and he puts me in mind of you and stuff because he comes up with all these ingenious things to have around the house. He put street lights in and stuff. He put electric in the houses and stuff. He runs off solar. They're trying to put a wind generator in now. Up there would be a really great idea for wind generator because they get a lot of wind coming off the of the water and stuff.
Yeah, I tried that down the hall, and it just, every once in a while a gust of wind would come down, and that thing would just sound like a helicopter getting ready to land.
Yeah. And so, you know, in different parts, wind generation's great and stuff. But these people, if you get a chance, just watch the show. It's really cool. There's 14 seasons of it so far and stuff. But you can learn a lot from these people and stuff.
Well, there's some cool stuff out there. People there is come up with some wonderful ideas.
There is some really cool stuff out there. And anything to, you know, let you live a more self-sufficient lifestyle and stuff, you know.
Well, so. Talking about the power thing, I'm finally putting a roof over top of my hydroelectric plant.
You ain't done it yet? I thought you did that.
No, I had a little cedar box built over the generator.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You know, and it was always in the way. You know, every time I had to change a belt, you know, the thing was coming down, smacking me in the head, and finally I ripped that off. But where I'd stuck two 4x4s, 12-foot 4x4s in the ground in front of it so I could put up a sound barrier.
Yeah.
And I just had one piece of plywood up there with some insulation board behind it. So anyway, on the other side, I went ahead and screwed two 2x's up there. And my rafters are coming off the top of this 4x4. So it's going to be pretty tall. And I'll be able to put up another piece of plywood for a more you know, it gets kind of noisy, that thing does, from time to time. It doesn't bother me, but it echoes across the hollow. And then I hear this chattering noise.
Oh, yeah.
Shut that thing off.
Yeah. And, well, so that's how me and Paul met and stuff. He called me one time years ago, and he goes, you need to come check what I got out and stuff. It's cool. And I was like, what's this old boy got that I ain't seen yet? So I go up there and check. Me and AC go up there and check him out. And he built his own water or electric generation system.
Hydroelectric
system himself that runs his house. And stuff. He's got solar out there, but he's also got a water, hydroelectric water and stuff. He's got a creek. And he actually has a cave on top of the mountain behind his house. The water comes out of it, comes down the hill. If you turn his faucet on that's beside the garden and stuff, it'll sit there and shake because there's so much pressure coming out of there and stuff. It's a really cool system.
Well, right now the water's so low. I mean, last year, I put in two more reservoirs, big plastic tanks, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
And normally, water just bowling out the top of the last one, you know, just from overflow. But now you can barely see it coming out of there.
Yeah.
But now
so it's still running.
Oh, yeah, the springs are up running. I walked up into mountain springs the other day, looked for them little pear trees. And they call that mountain springs because all the springs coming out of there. And every one of them little tributary springs was still running, but they were all running real low.
Yeah, I have a spring over on my Camargo farm, and it is barely trickling out right now.
Well,
and
that's everywhere. I mean, they talked about the Missouri River or Mississippi River.
Mississippi River.
They said it's not showing any signs of running, and they're finding all these boats.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the bottom of the river, but now they're sticking halfway up out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And the salvage people out there are going nuts. You know how many gold pocket watches are down in there and not. And it's got to be kind of cool.
And stuff. Talking about that stuff, there's a diesel fuel shortage going on.
Hearing that we got like a day's supply left.
And so Kentucky's not in it yet, but Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, part of Tennessee's in it. But they're having diesel fuel shortages, and so they're having a hard time getting it. A lot of fuel goes up the Mississippi River. Problem is, Mississippi River is so low right now.
They can't take the barges up there at all.
They can't take the barges up there, so they're having to load the barges half the weight that they normally do to get what they can up the Mississippi. And so there's a lot of oil being, a lot of scrap metal, a lot of oil and stuff, that it's taking longer for it to get to places it needs to because the river is so low. And so if you have diesel tractors and you need the diesel to get through your hay feeding and stuff, go ahead and buy it now. Just don't hoard it up and try to sell it for $30 a gallon.
I try to keep a 5-gallon jug extra around, you know, and I've got one diesel tractor, and it, I try to keep it full. But, you know, it's funny about how hard it is getting up the Mississippi River, but back in the days of bourbon, you know, Bourbon County didn't have a bit of problem getting them barrels down to New Orleans.
And so yeah, right now, if you need diesel, go ahead and go get it. Stuff, top your tanks off. Hope and pray that nobody steals it, because I know a lot of
that's gonna happen.
Going on. Stuff, but
don't leave your tractor parked out on the side of the road somewhere.
Yeah, don't let your tractors be out on the side of the road and everything. Lock up your tanks and stuff, because it's I don't know when they're going to turn the pipeline back on, or if the railroad's going to start carrying more, or what's going on and stuff. But there is, it's not bad yet, but they're saying it could get bad.
Well, that just gives the conspiracy people something else to
freak out about. Yeah, we ain't talk about conspiracy theories or nothing like that.
Well, there's a bunch of them out there.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there and stuff. We'll leave that aspect alone and stuff.
Okay.
I believe in God.
I do, too.
And so, and he will take care of us and stuff. That's all you got to do. You got to believe.
Well,
you got to pray. You got to read the Bible.
You have to talk to him.
You got to talk to him and stuff. He will take care of us.
He does listen.
All right, Paul, what else are we going to talk about?
Well, I don't know. I had something on my mind, but it's done slipped out of there now.
Yeah, you about to fall asleep on me over here.
That's not well, some people still work for a living, Lloyd.
Hey, I work every day, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And stuff. I've been helping John with his cabin over on 213 and stuff, trying to get the siding done on the weekends. And
yeah, Malcolm wants me back up here at Jeffersonville, checking on that one, but he can't get anybody to help. And I can't do that one by myself. It's just too much of a house. And
that was supposed to be a really nice log cabin.
Yeah, something like the Cartwrights lived in.
Now it's turned into a mega
hotel
catastrophe of a house.
Well, the thing is, like 42 foot off the ground to the peak of the roof, and it's only a 2-story house.
Yes.
You talk about wasted space, and you can't see the logs anymore.
No.
When you go inside this massive big log room, you see one log wall about 9 foot long. Every other wall has got
some kind
closet
of
closet.
Paul's been building this house for what, 3 years?
Three and a half.
3.5 years now. And so
I've lost interest in it.
And it was supposed to be a really nice getaway cabin and stuff, and then the plans have been changed, 15, 20 times?
Every time I go there now to go do something or meet with him or something is completely different.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that wasn't part of the plan. When I first went to Owensboro to look at the logs, he had them stored up there.
Uh-huh.
He showed me some blueprints, and it showed this thing looked like the Ponderosa, the Cartwrights lived in it.
Yeah.
It's a nice big log building, you know, with a kind of a low 6-12 pitch roof and some dormers sticking out on it. And now, the thing's 42 foot in the air.
It's got, the roof is bigger than the house is.
I mean, it's got a 12-12 pitch roof. It's really ridiculous. And you put these monster trusses up there. There's a whole room could be up in those trusses.
Uh-huh.
And you can stand up and walk around up there. You know, it's all wasted space. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But
just covered all the logs up. But can't see the logs anymore.
Yeah.
You don't know it's log until you get right up to it.
Uh-huh. So it's got nice porches on it. It's got, but it's been changed so many times.
Well, you know, if you want some log hotel to go stay in, a semi-log hotel. And,
yeah.
You know, that's a, but they were talking about, you know, them old logs had cracks in them and all, you know. Well, they put so much weight on top of the logs that it started compressing all that.
Oh, really?
And then for a long time, it didn't have a roof on it, and all that water was getting in there. And they were saying, well, what's causing this thing to settle like that? And I said, well, these are logs. They're big boards, you know, and they got cracks in them. They're old, you know. And I said, you got a 2-story house, basically, sitting on a log foundation. Oh, no, no, I got a block foundation. I said, no, the logs are sitting on a block foundation. This two-story frame building on top of that is sitting on a log foundation.
Uh-huh.
And those logs are compressing.
Yes.
And that's changing
some,
everything.
Some of them are 200, 250 years
old.
Yeah,
they're ancient. You know, some real nice logs in it.
Man, I wish I'd stuck with the original house plan.
Oh, me too, you know, and it just gotten more discouraging over the time, and I don't want to let Malcolm down, but I'm not going to be able to get to it till next year.
Yeah.
And that's only if my health holds up. You know, I got a few problems from time to time, and it has to have a crew. His crew on it right now were supposed to help me chink.
Yeah.
And Malcolm's there, and we're all fired up, and as soon as I pulled up, they all got in their trucks and left. I was like, wait a minute now, where's all this help at, you know? Yeah. That's one thing I say about Jason's crew, you know, they're all jumped right in and they're all learning. And I don't have to tell them how to mix mud anymore. I mean, I bought a bunch of extra trowels and made some little mud boards. And they just come in and they get started and they go.
Yeah. All right, I'm looking here at the festivals thing. We've made it through Court Day. We've made it through the Woolly Worm Festival, which was last weekend. I think we are out of festivals for this year.
Well, they got something going on out here at the movie theater.
The drive-in on Friday night and stuff. That's going on over to the drive-in there in Stanton on Friday night. But I think we are out of festivals for the year.
Yeah, I don't do none of that anymore.
That stuff. They are fun to go to every now and then, but as much flu and here's my thing. I'll not get on that soapbox. There's so much flu going around. COVID still pops up from time to time.
Now they're trying to scare us with like a triple thing coming at us.
Yeah, triple something other. And then bronchitis is really bad right now. And all this. And so we still kind of we still go places and do things. But we try to make it where it's not large groups of people.
Well, now, about the most I did festival-wise for the last few years, my friend Moonshine Mike,
yeah,
who just passed away.
Uh-huh.
And he owns the hollow, down the hollow from me, and he's got a great big field. And every year, he'd have music.
Uh-huh.
You know, a big bonfire and food, you know, and people come from everywhere, you know, and camp out and just bring their guitars, bring their mandolins, and it's just wonderful, you know. They'd be playing music all night long.
Uh-huh.
And now that's over, so yeah, we're not going to have that anymore.
Yeah, that's a bad thing to happen there.
Well, you know, I don't drink anymore, but now I'd go down there, you know, and I'd have to sip a little of that moonshine, you know. The thing is, I'm just a mile right up the old gravel road to my house.
Yeah, you could crawl the house if you wanted to.
Yeah, I've been known to do that. We won't go into that one either.
But, Moonshine Mike passed away, what, has it been 2 weeks ago?
We buried him last Thursday.
So,
but, yeah.
He had
leukemia, and they couldn't get the bone marrow for him.
Yeah.
He was a wonderful, wonderful person. Had about at least 250 people showed up to gravesite.
Oh, wow. That's really
good. Tyler Childers sung a solo for him, and they played bagpipes, and they had a military send-off there, and then he was a Mason, and they had the Masonic rites at the funeral home. But the procession was over a quarter mile long.
Wow. Yeah. So, he was a good guy. I met him on two occasions and stuff. Both times he's really funny, really outgoing.
Oh, he was great,
really,
you know. And every evening, you know, he'd been in and out of the hospital for the last 2 years. And every evening when I had quiet time, he liked goofing around on text messages, you know. Uh-huh. And we'd goof back and forth. And I'll sit down with my phone now and I go, I can't goof with Mike anymore, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's always bad to lose a good friend like
that. Yeah.
So.
You know, I'm outliving all my friends.
Huh?
I'm outliving all my friends. Well, you're still here, but...
Well, that could be a good thing, or it could be
a bad
thing. Yeah,
that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
All right, folks, we are out of time for this week. Paul, you got anything else to add?
I don't have to lay any bricks this weekend, and I've got about two loads of beech wood on the ground I got to try to get up to the shed, and I got a roof to put on my hydroelectric plant.
So if you're sitting around the house and have absolutely nothing else to do and stuff, Paul said could stop by his house. He'd give you a hammer and
I got plenty of hammers.
And some screws, and you can help him and stuff. But it's supposed to rain, I think, Sunday and into Monday.
I hope it does.
We need a good soaking rain. We don't need this heavy downpour, runoff rain and stuff. But everybody right now needs a good
just. Well, there's so many leaves. You know, I'm back in the Daniel Boone National Forest. And it was a real leafy year this year. And the ground is thick with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and what's going to happen with a hard, hard rain, it's going to clog all the ditch lines up and the culverts.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have some problems.
Like last count, it was an inch of rain that we're supposed to receive this weekend. So I hope we get it, and I hope it's just a good drenching.
Well, rain. They said it might start Saturday and then quit sometime Monday. So if that inch is spread out over that whole 24 hours, let's say, that'll be good because that'll be a soaker.
Yeah. But everybody have a happy and great, wonderful Halloween. Kids, stay safe.
Oh, that's right.
It's candy. Halloween weekend. And so everybody have a safe. Watch out for the cars. You know, there's a lot of churches that's having trunk or treats and stuff like that. And so just everybody be safe out there and watch out for the kiddos. Some people are doing it Saturday night. Some people are doing it Sunday night. Some people are doing it Monday night. And so everybody just watch out.
Well, every once in a while, I get some scary looking people knock on my door. You know?
Not kids necessarily, I hope.
No, no. I've been known to come to the door with a 357 in my hand and go, who is it?
But everybody have a great and wonderful, blessed weekend, a blessed work week ahead. And we'll catch you here next time. So long.
Bye.
Love I'm gonna do till the day I'm dead. I'll be working on my old homestead.